Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 115 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Everybody.
Hello.
We're back.
We are.
Sort of.
Yes, what?
Yes, we're on holiday.
We're on holiday, apparently.
Yeah, I've decided to take the summer off.
Right.
Which means not doing a new show.
So, we're too lazy to do the news at the moment.
Yep.
Fair enough. So, other news sources are available, I suppose.
Yeah,
who would you recommend to be picking up the slack while we're slacking?
No one, there's no news.
There is no
news.
It's
the summer.
Oh, the silly season. We're going to miss on all that. Never mind.
Good. So what we're playing.
So what we're playing, show. One where I get to talk lots.
Yes.
I'm going to start with Warhammer. The awesome ongoing rolling rampage that is the Hipster Battalion on the Monday nights.
Oh, fantastic. People still playing that.
Oh, yes. Karak Agul. Agil. Adzgul. Something like that. I really should learn what the server name is.
It would help.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got... I think, was it 24 people? I think it might have been a full warband. I can't remember. 20 to 24 or so. I mean, I don't really want to get into the habit of, you know, just banging chest and going, look, it's awesome, we had like a million people show up, because that does sort of belittle the individuals who come along each time, who are all good friends and new friends that we're meeting as we go. Well, I am anyway. You've given up a bit on it, have you?
I have, yeah.
You have.
I think that ice cream truck's doing a second pass.
He's had a second go, hasn't he? Yeah.
Anyway,
we can't keep funding him just ourselves, you know. I mean, it's just not going to work. You need to diversify. So our previous week we were mostly romping about the Barak Var area, doing quite a bit of public questing. Quite interesting. I'd not come across, because I, for some reason, just don't like greenskins and or dwarfs, I seem to have missed out on the entire sort of thing, which is their whole campaign area, which is that a large proportion of their public quests are competitive ones. I hadn't come across this anywhere else, so we ended up doing was going turning up and having a look at these, and you got two different objective sets, one for order and one for destruction.
Oh,
you end up having to do both, basically working on the same public quest against each other, and depending on whether you're flagged or not flagged, it can end up into a massive PvP scrum as well as the getting the objectives done. We turned up, there was basically no order having a go at it, so we just charged in and started having at it. It's the usual sort of thing, take out a huge number of solo mobs, a couple of group mobs, and then one warband type boss at the top end. We're trying to focus on the hard quests and also pick on ones that are slightly higher level than we all are, because we just got quite a lot of people, see. So being able to sort of scale it up a bit by just going where we're not supposed to be yet does seem to sort of work. I'll come back to that in a minute. but we had two Shadow Warriors turn up, two order players there, orange names, so we couldn't attack them. And they were, I don't know if we were flagged or not, but they didn't seem to flag up. There's only two of them. So they were just sort of watching in incredulity as a vast number of people decided to steamroller over the... I can't remember what it was. It might have been Chapter 5 or 6 or something. It's the one just due south of the war camp for the Barak Var region.
Chapter 6.
I don't know, something like that. You're bluffing, aren't you?
Yeah. there's a chance I'm right.
Uh-huh. Are you even paying attention?
Yeah, I am, yes. Mm.
But
I'm not finding the list of what I've been playing. So.
Yes. So, yeah, did a bit of that. Had a go at the medium and the easy ones. I mean, there's a lot of this in the Dwarf and Greenskin lands, the competitive public quest, which is something you don't... So I think each of the three different campaigns does it in a slightly different way. As far as I can tell, the Elf campaigns tend to run two paths that run parallel through each of the zones, and so you don't really get to meet or cross over each other or meet the enemy unless you're actually in the open RVR areas, which sort of are shared between both sides. Empire and Chaos seem to sort of have two long paths that zigzag across each other a lot. So in each zone you'll find a point where the main road crosses the main road from the other lot.
And hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues, well, depending if you're flagged or not. I mean, I don't know if they have rule set servers as such anymore. I think the flagging's an entirely optional thing. I don't think there's PvP servers in the traditional sense where the flag's set all the time for everyone. I don't know. Perhaps there may have been at the start, there may have been different rule set servers. There's only about, I think there's about 8 servers in total now. Worldwide.
Wasn't there like 100 and something to start with?
Yeah, yeah. They had some very crazy over-server production at the start.
I seem to remember the number 140-something.
I don't know if it's that many, but I remember it was a large amount more than there are today. But the servers were on, are busy and full of people and life, so that's all good. Then, so the other week we decided that we really needed to step up the difficulty because it was still too easy, and we ended up a chapter 9 or 10. I mean, this was a public quest designed for level 18 and 19 players, and 9 plus to get the job done, according to the tooltip on the map. And we had about 18 people for that week, all down in the south of, I think it was Illyrian, the high elfy bit for tier 2, down in the bottom corner. And that was crazy. It was this big sort of elven city, which we had to go in and scour, which is the good bit. It's the execute starburst formation, head out, split up, spread out, cover as much ground as we can. And that was all good. So we got it's like 150 normal solo mobs need killing to trigger stage 2. But with so many people coming along and the spawn rate of it all, it wasn't as painful as it sounds. Let's put it that way. I mean, trying to solo that, yeah, quite dispiriting. And then stage 2 is interesting. You have to escort this dark elf sorceress NPC, it's an escort mission, around this town while she drops these glowing orbs all around the town, and it regularly sends champion mobs at you as well. That was quite interesting because we had to be on the ball a bit, had to focus, had to sort of try and keep our forces watching the NPC if nothing else, and sort of clearing out spawns and adds and heroes and, well, champion mobs. I think there was a couple of heroes at the end of stage 2 as well. Got that done. Stage 3 is where the town sends its boss out. It's like Archmage or whatever. Some sort of wizard, high elf wizard that comes out as like a hero grade monster. And it was really hard work. It's literally a raid boss. It really is. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was like a vast number of hit points, which we had a lot of trouble whittling away. I mean, it was just straight fighting. There was like 18 of us wailing on it, and we were wearing it down, but it was taking sort of 5-10 minutes or so to do. Just this one monster. I don't know whether that's because we're getting a lot of resists, because a lot of our group are below the recommended level for that quest. I don't know. I mean, they are quite finely balanced, despite, you know, the Zerg nature of it all. Anyway, she has this special attack. I'm going to have a rant here. You know, in how pretty much every MMO ever, sometimes they'll do things to you, and the only way you know they've done a thing to you is a 32 by 32 pixel abstract splurge of colour in the top corner, buried underneath the party window?
I'm aware of this UI.
Yes, and you know how sometimes those instantly kill everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's my rant. Well, this
wasn't a very good rant.
No, I know, but this high elf archmage type person does this thing where after a while she just gets this buff where she does 725% extra damage. And then she just goes mental one hitting everyone. So I think it's some kind of timeout thing, or if you get her down to X, she goes berserk. But whatever, for some reason, we had a couple of goes at this. At this public quest, we got right to the last stage each time. Yeah, we're racking up a good old amount of influence as we're doing it, because for all these sub-objectives, you know, the stage 1 and 2, you're getting the turquoise XP as well. But yeah, we got to the end, and we're whittling away, we're getting into a rhythm, you know, we're doing it, we're whittling down, then suddenly, pow! The tanks are all being killed one at a time instantly, and it just goes downhill from there, really, because it's sending adds as well. So we had one team peeled off, trying to sort of deal with those as they came in, and it looked good on paper, but, you know, 18 people of about average level 15 or so, and yeah, she just gets... I think she was just toying with us, to be honest. Gets down to about 25% health, and bam! Just this tiny, tiny little icon that I would have missed, except the fact that I was tanking and got killed instantly first, so was lying around on the floor and had a bit of time to study the user interface, you know, to idly mouse over these tiny, tiny, tiny icons that are actually extremely significant. Yeah, so we gave up on that one in the end, which is a shame, but I don't know, somewhat encouraged in a way, because there are things in that game that just throwing 24 people at in a Zerg-like fashion cannot do, which was my big worry about this whole Warhammer adventure for us. I was a bit worried that we're just going to turn up, kill everything instantly with no challenge and fun whatsoever, and end up not really enjoying it much for the right reasons. So the fact that we can find stuff that's just a little bit too difficult for us. We went and successfully did the normal public quest of that same chapter. which is one that they recommend about sort of 7 to 9 players of 18 to 19, and our big Zerg managed to do that just about right, really. Seemed quite well balanced. Of course, we ended up with a whole load of loot bags that contained items that no one can use for another 4 or 5 levels, but hey-ho. And the same with the Influence chapter rewards as well. There's stuff there that everyone's just putting in the bank for when they get big enough. So, I mean, the alternative is to perhaps split up into the approved quantity of players and go and try different quests simultaneously. I don't know. I have to see how that works.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, yeah, it's back to conventional guild work, isn't it? This is how guilds function in most normal games under normal rules. You know, if you've got six people in your party window, then that's the most number of people who can do anything together meaningfully.
Yeah,
you have to just keep splitting up. With a lot of open RVR though, which is good. This last week was brilliant. We did a big old romp around. I'm beginning to worry we're on a chaos server. Destruction server, because pretty much most of the time while we're playing we're looking at the map and the keeps and they're all red, and I'm wondering if this is one of these sort of tacit, oh, you know, the first thing person does when they log on into advice chat, ask is this an order or a destruction server, and they shouldn't be either. That misses the whole point of it.
It does sort of help if they're the both.
But yes, so, but you know, this is the problem with the two-side war, really. Yeah. One side will be bigger than the other. It's almost impossible to make them equal, impossible to make them play at the same times, and so on. So, I mean, the scenarios are good for that. That sort of abates the problem a bit. But then if no one's queuing on one side or not enough people are queuing on the other, then those tend to take a while to pop. I mean, we tend to have quite poor luck, really, with the on-demand scenarios thing. We will join queues, and a couple of hours later, we'll have started to get on with something else and they start to show up as
Is it still taking a couple of hours then?
Well, I don't know. Last Monday it took about an hour or so.
Because back at launch really they took ages.
Yeah, they do take a long time. It's not just, you know, click the button, hey, we're off, you know. You have to go off and find something else to do, but something else that you don't want to get too involved in, because yeah, at any moment you're going to get whisked away. We've had a couple of open RVR experiences quite dramatically change the battlefield when all 18 of us suddenly vanish into the scenarios. Yeah, suddenly the whole objective control tends to be a bit of a problem. I like the open RVR better than the scenarios. I mean, it's the spectacle of it all, the large-scale warfare.
Never that keen on the scenarios.
The scenarios are very much like Warcraft Battlegrounds. I mean, it is a sporting match. It's like playing rugby or something. Whereas, you know, the open RVR, it's a real conflict. There's a war going on. You've got to push. There's battles. You know, you've got deployable siege equipment, castles, all this great stuff. I was doing some of the RAM stuff. I'd never been on a RAM before.
No,
it's fantastic. They deployed one. I ran in because I'm a chosen, so I'm supposed to be at the front. And you know, normally I just think, oh, I don't want to touch that. That looks a bit complicated. And I just start beating on the door with my head. But no, I thought, oh, we'll give the RAM a go. It had an extra slot. 4 people can use it at once, and basically it's like that golf, it's like every golf game ever, where you charge up your swing, push the button.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically when it's the time to do the RAM thing, the bar charges up. It's like the active reloads from Gears of War as well. You have to hit the coloured, the white section as close to the top as possible without going over.
And all 4 people need to do that, do they?
It helps, yeah. Well, because each of the 4 people has a percentage value next underneath them, showing them how close they got, and I was mostly above 80. There was a couple of 50% with red names, so I'll get used to it when I practice a bit more, I think. But the thing is, the tanks are being healed and have mitigation anyway, but also most tanks seem to get a deflect oil ability, which sort of protects you for a limited time from the boiling oil being poured on you from the top, which can do horrific damage to everyone else when they're trying to put this RAM in play. I mean, it's debatable whether you're supposed to just ignore the oil and get on with it, or whether you want to take the oil out before you try and put the RAM in, but whatever it takes, really. We did some really there was some coordination going on and everything.
Don't believe you.
No, well, the Realm Tier 2 Warband chat thing, it's basically just a channel everyone in Tier 2 Warband areas, open RVR areas, can see. And there was a couple of people leading Warbands trying to coordinate and stuff. We did this fantastic. I mean, I must have involved 3 Warbands, which is something like 24, about 60 odd people. And we managed to do a bait and switch lure trap thing to goad order out of their fortress that we couldn't take. So 2 warbands all ran off to a different map, and in our lot we we were at the Ironclad in the Barrack Var area, and we just swam out to sea and bobbed about in the sea a bit. Because you're outside the open RVR lake, you're no longer triggering as a hostile force. You're not sending up flares and all the rest of it. And so we're all sort of bobbing there in the water behind this Ironclad, like a sort of bizarre Navy SEALs outfit. We just wait for sounds of order being spotted elsewhere. We're leaving the fort and charging off, and then we ran in behind and stole their fort away from them, which was quite clever. I mean, it's a little bit cowardly. Obviously, you want the big glorious fight with loads and loads of people.
Incredibly cowardly.
Got the job done. Well, also, we tried battering ourselves against it quite extensively previously, and they were really dug in there. I don't know what they were doing with the oil and the door and everything, but we were just getting nowhere with it. So, yeah, ran away, waiting for them to get bored, which is the real enemy in these kinds of siege situations, and they did, and they all ran out and went off to do something else, and we ran in behind and stole their keep from them. Which did take a bit of work, because at that point, all the other warbands had gone off to this other area to start the Shadows Spire, Shadowlands thing in... the elf country. So there's only the hipster battalion on the case for this one, but we got in there, we managed to kill the keep lord and everything, flip control, and yes, hurrah, go us. And then we just charged straight on out and joined the other two warbands, and they were in some sort of stalemate, and we turn up and we managed to very quickly after we arrived it collapsed, and we managed to gain it. So I was quite pleased, because basically the hipster battalion making a difference.
Yeah,
making their presence felt on the battlefield. I mean, you know, I'm not claiming any particular personal skill, but
very wise.
That many extra bodies turning up can't help but change things in these sorts of large-scale battles. I mean, you know, sort of another 18 people show up on one side or the other, bringing fresh siege equipment with them. I do like dumping down the crossbows and the ballistas and things. They really do help. Just create a suppression on the walls and around the door area. If you can just keep them all hiding away from line of sight, they can't be plinking away at our guys on the floor. It's pretty basic stuff. So I don't know. I think the plan for this week is to probably get straight into the ORVR early on while there's a lot of it going on, because we did sort of time it quite badly last week. Just as we'd finished doing what we wanted to be doing with the public quests, we decided to turn around and have a look at the open RVR, and not a lot going on. So it's fair. I don't know when prime time is for the open RVR fighting. I'm guessing around 8 through to 10, you know, being the prime time gaming.
Most likely,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we probably want to get on, because we can make our own entertainment with public quests any time of the day, but to get some decent open RVR, you need decent opponents and decent numbers. So it's a question of turning up and just sort of timing what we do and when we do it, along with what's going on with the general population as well. It's all good stuff, though. I think we're going to start seeing people moving closer to tier 3 this week. We've got a couple of people who are 19s and 20s already, and I think it's 21 for chickening for tier 2.
So. You've only been playing a couple of weeks.
Well, we've got some people who are quite enthusiastic and playing more than once a week. I know, weird. Strange people.
I find enthusiastic people worrying.
Oh, I love enthusiasm. I've just got a lot else on. I'm as enthusiastic as these people, only I'm spreading it amongst four different games. That's the difference, really. But, I've been pottering along. That's my chosen. I got a punt skill.
Yay!
Yeah, my shield thing on the latest level.
Does it physically punt them?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't tried it yet.
May I recommend Ledges?
Well, for NPCs, you know, monsters and mobs, it just knocks them down. But apparently for players, it punts them. So we'll have to see how that works. But I'm looking forward to trying that, especially if I'm on the front row, being one of the tanky people.
Yeah.
My Disciple of Cain that I'm playing on my off time, because I don't really want to try and... I'm trying to avoid out-leveling the rest of the group. I'm trying to keep near the average of the pack, as it were, for levels. So I've got a Disciple of Cain I'm picking away as well. Yeah, just sort of pottering around Shadowlands, following the chapter progression down through the coast there. There's lots of hunting shadow elves at the moment. It does get a little bit repetitive, to be honest, seeing, you know, oh, another group of shadow elves that need taking out, blah, blah, blah. They're the ones with the bows and the masks. So I'm hoping for a bit of a change of scene once my Disciple of Cain gets down into Illyrian. Hopefully there's some interesting and different stuff to fight. But then, of course, there's always the other two campaigns I can always look at as well. If I get bored of shooting, you know, hunting shadow elves in clumps of brambles, I can...
You really need to go do the
have a look at some of the
stuff.
Yeah, the dwarf areas and the orc areas, that sort of thing, as well as the Empire Chaos.
The greenskin thing was quite fun, actually.
I might have to roll a greenskin at some point when I get bored and just have a look through their starter or campaign, as it were. I mean, I do like the elf stuff. I mean, the scenery there is fantastic, but all sort of twisted trees and great granite cliffs all over the place. But Yeah, all good stuff there. Still going, still having a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know, it's I think we're sort of settling into a bit of a pattern and a routine. I think it won't really pick up and become, you know, spectacular and exciting until we get to tier 4 where all the really big stuff starts going on. But I think it's enjoyable enough at tier 2. I mean, tier 2 seems to enjoy a lot of decent fighting. The Chaos Empire tier 1, Nordska Nordland, that's where the free trial players are, so that one's always busy.
Yeah.
The other two on tier 1, deathly empty always. Tier 2 seems to be very mobile and lots of cross swords on the global maps and so on. But tier 3 seems to be a lot more empty and a lot less going on. And I'm wondering if there's some quirk of the progression and the level, you know, the geometry of the levels, you know, the, how you work your way up the XP, that means you end up, I don't know, do you catapult through tier 3 very fast, or do people get bored at tier 2 and not come back? Or?
I don't know, yeah. But I suspect you shall find out very soon.
We shall find out, absolutely. Yeah, so all good stuff. Guild Wars, we're still pottering around in factions. There's a lot of rumblings. There's a lot of rumblings and discussions. I think we're preparing ourselves psychologically for a potential future during which Tuesdays are a different game. I know it's a hard thing to think of, hard thing to imagine. We've been at it for a very long time, but 3 years or more probably. There's, you know, a Tuesday new club guild, and I've been personally playing for a number of years before that, continuously more or less. So.
If I'd bothered doing a new show this week, you would have learned that you're doing that this week anyway, because there's downtime on Tuesday.
Yes, a bit of news sneaking into the What We're Playing show.
It'll have happened.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. All this time travel, it plays hell with the tenses. I don't know. I mean, it's like no one wants to make the first move. No one wants to be the one that says, right, we're not going to do this anymore. And we're all quite, you know, we like hanging out with each other, and we're quite enjoying, you know, playing a known game well. But, yeah, I don't know. Guessing it'll be a toss-up if we do end up going a new game, because the one of the basic fundamental footings of it all is that I don't want to be forcing people to pay money to play games. That's why DDO was quite appealing to me and my group of friends, because we got other commitments as well, so being able to pay nothing to play over a week is good, but then the potential to buy stuff that we are enjoying is still exists. So it's basically the whole Turbine free-to-play model of late. And EverQuest 2, of course.
Don't say you're going to LOTRO.
Well, I don't know. We may be going to LOTRO. That was suggested.
That's just freaky.
I know. I've been there, I've done that. And we'll see if I'm ready for more of that yet. But it'd be that or EverQuest 2, I think, possibly another suggestion. I mean, you know, there's some dissatisfactions about the idea that both of these games are quite rigid level quests.
Yeah.
Which is something we never really have to worry about in Guild Wars. DDO has it a bit. Warhammer has it somewhat. But as long as both of these games... I mean, can you remember if LOTRO has an apprenticing?
Nope.
I don't think it has anything at all, does it?
Not at all.
No. EverQuest 2 does have something like that. Some sort of, here, my low-level friend can come and play with us if we do this thing. You know, that's what we'd be looking for. I personally...
You've actually narrowed it down to a couple of games it could be.
I don't know. Yeah, well, it's got to be free monthly, hasn't it? I mean, I don't mind, you know, if we want to decide to work on adventure packs at our own rate eventually down the line or whatever, but I just like the flexibility of the whole free-to-play thing, to be honest. We haven't really done a big topic discussion of EverQuest 2's move yet, but I'm sure that's coming up in a show soon.
Yeah, I think we need to wait to see...
see a few more details.
Yeah,
really, yeah.
Basically. we can talk about it, but at the moment it's mainly just going by the short amount of
information. But in the presently suggested form, it seems quite appealing to me and some of the others in the gang. So, I don't know. I mean, personally, I think I'd prefer EverQuest 2 to LOTRO, mostly just because I've played LOTRO quite a lot and fairly recently. So.
Yeah.
But... I don't even know if the rest of the guild are even looking for another Deku Mud or that kind of thing. I mean, Guild Wars itself is a particular style of game that is quite different to most of the fare out there. So perhaps this, you know, I wouldn't want to insist that the whole guild moves, you know, en masse to a new game that they may potentially not enjoy, because it's not the same sort of thing as what we all signed up for in the first place. So, yeah, we'll have to see. But I think I can see an end. Yeah, I can see a horizon to my Guild Wars adventuring for the time being. I blame ArenaNet for dragging their heels so long with Guild Wars 2. I mean, back in the day when it was all first announced, we assumed that by this point now, it would be out.
Well, it's not...
It's been delayed.
It's not so much...
Have they ever set a date? I don't know.
No,
we expected it to be sooner, let's put it that way.
And it's not the fact that they've dragged that out, it's the fact that the moment they announced it, they gave up on Guild Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go that long without
there's
a
warring crater, but
yeah, that's it's dribs and drabs.
It's dribs and drabs
of
stuff, and that purely exists to prep people for Guild Wars 2.
It really needed to have another campaign.
It need at least one, possibly two. I mean, I like the idea of Eye of the North. That was a good. Let's try expansions, but they just did one, and then that was that.
Yeah,
they could do more with that. They could work an expansion. So, Eye of the North is like a kind of a sequel to Prophecies in a way, because it details the same lands, the same sorts of people, and carries on the events and the stories there. So, why not do something similar for Factions and for Nightfall? Sort of, you know, Factions expansion and a Nightfall expansion.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what would be involved there. Probably a huge amount of artwork and game design and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff which they're currently having to channel into Guild Wars 2. I mean, I'm liking what I'm hearing about Guild Wars 2, but I'm also a bit wary about, you know, just feature lists from any game I can't go and have a look at myself.
Yeah. There does tend to be an awful lot of spin and an awful lot of not telling you that one vital little detail.
Well, I think there's an awful lot of announcements that could as easily be describing Guild Wars 1. It's like they don't particularly care about people who play Guild Wars. They're after the Warhammer market, Warcraft market rather.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely spinning this stuff to try and impress people who are fed up with unpalatable design decisions that other games have taken.
Mm.
You know, it's that's what it seems like to me. It seems like they're just banging the, hey, all you Warcraft people, come and have a look at a game that doesn't have the things you hate. You know, meanwhile, us Guild Wars loyalists, I suppose, are just sitting here. Presumably, we're assumed to be day one purchasers, whatever they do, so they don't need to bother spending any time or effort talking to us. I don't know. Perhaps I'm being unnecessarily bitter about a thing I'm not really following that closely, to be honest. I don't know. I just think that in terms of, you know, selfishly enough, in terms of me and my guild, it would be great if Guild Wars 2 had been launched about six to eight weeks ago, you know. We'd follow on with a happy continuity and continue with merry adventures. But as it is, I think we're going to need a stopgap of some sort. We're going to need to go somewhere else to bide our time until such time Guild Wars 2 is ready, you know. And that's even with me skipping the three-month rule in this particular case. So, I don't know. Ongoing discussions and ideas bouncing around, seeing what people like, what people don't like. I think it could end up with a diaspora. Could end up with half, you know, loads of people going off to one place, some to another, and that'd be a shame. But
I have a solution, but we'll get to that in my what we're playing.
I know what this solution is as well, yeah. Let's see, what else do I play? There is EVE Online, Wormhole stuff. Did I talk about the ransom?
I don't think you did talk about the ransom.
I think we might have done.
When was that? How many weeks ago was that?
I can't remember. There was a couple of weeks.
Talk about it again anyway. Make it sound like you've done two if you haven't.
No, we've had quite a quiet sort of wormhole fortnight, really. We've been going in there, doing our stuff, dredging up the materials and getting it all out safely, to be honest. So
boring.
Not a lot going on, yeah. No one's attacked us. We've not already attacked anyone. We did drive a couple of battlecruisers out of the system we were in this week, though. That was quite good. We had them all scanned down and we would just warp into where they were, but then they went through a wormhole and we didn't bother chasing them. We sent Ackley through to scout out the low-sec sector they escaped into. He can fly his cloaky Helios now, though. So
oh, okay.
Yeah.
We didn't just
shove him out in his newbie ship and see what came back. No.
Bits. I notice it's always him that dies.
He reported there was a scorpion waiting on the gate. And of course, by the time we'd steeled up enough nerve to try and go through and get it, it had gone. So,
yeah.
Hey-ho.
Remember, scorpions can't knock the entire group down.
Well, they can do a very close job. Ah, but my scimitar has the Ladar ECCM mid-slot module as a standard part of its fit that I run all the time, doubling my center strengths. Because a healer who can't target any of the rest of his group is no healer at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there isn't shield repair smart bombs. Oh, take a memo to CCP. Shield repairing smart bombs.
I'm sure that wouldn't do a massive amount of damage to their aggro code.
I just had an idea, patent it. Yeah. So we're sort of wondering what to do next. I mean, there's talk of going off and doing Tech 1 Frigate Roams, but I, you know, a la the Agony Unleashed course, but
yeah.
I don't think we've got enough people to pull that off, really. You really do need at least 40 people, I think, to get a Tech 1 Frigate
You could always do a Class 5.
We've been trying. We were all good. Yeah, that's what slowed us down this week. We had quite a low take this week. It was only a couple of hundred million, you know, which is low for us. Normally we're up near the half a billion mark. But no, because we spent quite a lot of time buggering about refitting and setting up ships to be able to do a Class 5 wormhole, which we'd found. Well, one of our members had found earlier on in the evening. Of course, by the time we got all sorted out and set up and back to the wormhole, it had vanished.
Yeah.
So back down to Class 2s. I mean, Class 1s and 2s do escalate. I think they respond to you bringing far too much stuff by upping the amount of stuff it sends back at you. So there's a certain amount of dynamic intelligence to what we find. It's not just a question of, oh, Class 1, that's not going to have anything worthwhile in. I mean, if you can't find a higher class wormhole, go for the Class 1 anyway, because it will respond to your large amount of hardware coming in and stomping on it by stomping back. And of course, all these new ships drop the tags and the good stuff, so you can still earn money on 1s and 2s, even with a fleet like ours. Which is like 10 pilots in battle cruisers, you know. I mean, we generally don't meet anything our kind of size coming the other way, because I do get the impression that that wormhole expeditions, certainly down in the Class 1 to 3 range, is something that's basically a solo or duo operation. So bringing 10 people is certainly a comfortable safety net, but also it's unlikely you're going to meet another 10 pilots coming the other way and have a massive old battle in there. You'll see 1s and 2s, and most people... You know, if you see 10 ships and you're in one ship, you're going to run away if you're smart. Or, yeah, unless you've got a carrier with, like, smart bombs or something, I don't know.
Oh, talking of, did you see the Kestrel that got blown up during the week?
No.
The other day? It had something like 43 plexes on it.
Wow!
6 years of game time.
Oh my God. I mean, I know. I've been looking and I've been keeping an eye out. I heard a story of people who've lost 1s and 2s here and there already, and I was thinking, you stupid, stupid people. But how many?
It was 43 or something like that.
It's got to be a setup, hasn't it? It's got to be a mate who's killed it just to generate the kill mail and gets a skip. No one takes 43 plexes in a Kestrel anywhere.
No, I reckon they do. I reckon what they were doing is they were buying them up to move them cheaply, to move them to another area and put them on more expensive.
Well, that's worth a suicide gank in pretty much any ship you'd care to name, really. Yeah,
but they chose a Kestrel.
Oh, dearie me. That amount of resources. You'd best off just selling one plex for ISK and then fitting out a Tech 2 something.
Yes.
Tech 2 cruiser, a hack, or some recon ship or something.
You're probably best off in an interceptor, actually.
Yeah. Just be too fast to lock and see. But yeah, because the plexes, what's the volume on a plex? They haven't made them like 1,000 metres cubed or something sadistic
like
that. Yeah,
something like 0.1 or something.
Yeah, so you can fit them in anything at all, but, well, barring a pod, of course, but... Blimey, it was only a matter of time, but that many this quickly.
Yeah.
I'm shocked and surprised, even knowing what I'd know about the people who play Eve. That's remarkable. But yeah, I think we're going to take a week off this week. We're going to go and do our Eve Gate pilgrimage.
Oh,
yes. Everyone needs to go into the Eve system. Is it called the Eve? I can't remember. It's in Genesis. There's a system where the Eve Gate itself exists. For those who don't know, this is the shattered and blown open remnants of the mega wormhole that first brought people to the Eve Galaxy from Earth. So, and there is something there to see as well. So I shall be. To be leading a little bit of a trip. I don't know if we're going to do it as a battle cruiser Tech 2 cruiser roam and just blow anyone up along the way.
You probably should.
Or whether we're going to do it all in COVOP ships and just try and get there and back without being spotted.
It's a hefty area of LOSEC.
It's a big area of LOSEC, but I don't believe it connects to 00, apart from jump gates and bridges, of course. But jump bridges. But just travelling about the place, you're going to see... I don't know if it's very densely populated, not done a lot of research at all, but...
Last time I was there, it wasn't.
You might find a little bit of minor camping on the first section that leads into it, but yeah, I think we'll be big enough to drive off. I think, yeah, there's definitely a taste for it now in the group. I'm starting to worry.
Blood in the water, eh?
Blood in the water and all that, yeah. I mean, our merry gang of wormhole pirates have decided that we'd quite like to go and just do a bit more straight PvP, so I don't know. I'm not sure if I condone this kind of move myself, but I don't have a lot of a say. I'm just the one with the group boosting bonuses, so we'll see. I don't mind a bit of PvP if I got people at my back, you know. It's the solo PvP that I always hated.
Yeah.
You know, the utter bleak desolation of you in versus everyone else. It's not so bad when you've got a bunch of people on your side, and they're all good folks, so we'll see. But, yeah, I think we want to go and do a bit of something else, really. I mean, the wormhole is becoming a bit routine. I mean, if we can find a class 4 or 5, that will become quite challenging, obviously, because we're going to start needing command ships tanked to the 9s to survive the Alpha Strike and all the rest of it. But just routinely doing 1, 2s and 3s is becoming a bit rinse and repeat for us. We're easily capable of doing all right at it. We need bigger challenges. And I don't know what else exists, really. I mean, I sort of did toy with the idea of going back to level 4 agent missions again, but I mean, how easy those were was what drove us into doing this wormhole stuff in the first place. So I'm not sure that's really a step up in terms of difficulty and excitement. But, I mean, a lot of our newer members are getting to the point where this vast amounts of money for a relatively new player, as it were, is all coming their way, and they're starting to get into battleships and things. And I think it'd be nice just to have a bit of a play around in a battleship, because it's an experience you do need to do for Eve. You need to work your way up. I mean, it's very easy to just sort of specialise out into just particular Tech 2 roles and stuff. But, yeah, have a go in a battleship. They're fantastic. Good fun. Large weapons, find a suitable Agent 4 mission duo up or whatever, get in there and fire some 1400 mil guns. Fantastic stuff. DDO, we're still working on the Orchard of the Macabre, the necropolis. I think we did the Vampire Tomb again, the thing of Vol, whatever it is, Crypt of Vol, don't know. Again, that went fairly straightforward. I mean, it was a bit hard work because we sort of ended up with 8 people that week, and we ended up with 2 teams of 4, which is like 2 people less in each team than you'd expect or hope for. So, and we are still quite underleveled for it all. So, challenging but rewarding. Quite a good fun. We got all the way to the end there. And then I think this week we did the Golem Workshop. Golem Lab or something, place where they make golems. And there's all sorts of craziness with lightning elementals and turning runes off to try and make their thing, make the machine turn off and on, and it all goes very quickly. I'm quite glad spell of the week this week was resist energy electricity. A lot of very dangerous health and safety executive infractions in this workshop as we were going through. I had me a clipboard out, I was taking notes, just arcing electricity everywhere, not properly earthed, good walkways with no handrails, very deep pits with no handrails, etc. And mechanical monsters that run around killing people, which is not very good for a workplace.
I believe that is on the don't do it list.
Yeah. I think we have to close them down. Well, we had a go at closing them down. We got the quest done all the way through. See, as I understand it, what we're doing out in this Orchard of the Macabre is recruiting various different factions to assist us in attacking the Black Abbot, who's like this big nemesis of the whole place.
And a beer.
Yeah, and he's a raid at the very end of it all, apparently. So, you know, when you look on the map and it's got the little gold chalices, some of the gold chalices have little red squares behind the gold chalices. You know, we're back to our tiny, tiny icons that convey very, very important information in not a very good manner at all. But yes, those are raids. And I think that's sort of the standard package for an adventure pack these days will be like 5 or 6 different quests, and then a pre-raid and a raid boss, and a few things at the end, and a big explorable area, which is a good way to do it. I like it. I find an acceptable purchase. I mean, there's some real stinkers in their adventure pack shop, to be frank, but these are a good way of doing it. Menectar and Desert worked very similar, and Necropolis Part 4. You feel like you're getting a good, solid, well-rounded product for your points there. So I think if Turbine can manage to divvy up Lotro in a similar manner, then that's going to be a good way to go about it all, but we'll have to see. So my Ranger's still plodding away. I did a respec actually and rejiggered my points about. You get points every rank, and then 4 or 5 ranks makes a level. And these action points are enhancements, and you can buy various different abilities and things with them. I rejiggered all mine about to buy all the dexterity boosts I can, because, Ranger, dexterity, it's all very straightforward. The old D&D stats. Dexterity is my big thing, you see. And I've got it now so high that the dexterity penalty restrictions of wearing any kinds of armour at all are less. Basically, every set of armour gives you a cap, so the amount of dexterity points that can improve your armour class.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, basically, it's all quite complicated and mathematical, but the long and the short of it is that I have a higher armour class when I'm not wearing armour now.
Wow.
Because I've increased my dexterity to the point where wearing any set of armour at all now will actually will wind back the amount of armour class I'm getting from my insanely high.
So basically
dexterity.
When you're standing there, you're shimmering because you keep moving.
Yes, exactly. I dodge raindrops now, I'm that fast. Not very bright, though, as evidenced by my intelligence of about 6 or 7 or something. But yes, so that was quite surprising. That was a real turning point for me. I'm now wearing the outfits and robes, basically items with no armor stats at all, just because they give you extra bonuses in different sorts of areas. I get one that gives me extra. I got an outfit which is all like big tiger skin and fluff everywhere, and it gives me mobility as a feat, which means that when I'm tumbling, I gain even more armor class. So I'm just basically rolling around most combats like a little mini cannonball these days. It's all crazy, but yeah. So armor, your earthly armor is of no use to me anymore because I'm that fast. I'm so fast. I've already got there about an hour ago. Yeah, I got there tomorrow. What? I don't know. Yes, mixed metaphor, falling apart.
Definitely.
Yes. Do you want to hear about stuff that isn't MMOs?
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Overlord 2. I borrowed that off your good self.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very much a sequel of us. It's a real sequel, isn't it? It's Overlord 1.5.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking at a brand new game. Interesting new features, though. I say new. It's been out for how long?
Years. 2 years, even?
Well, improvements probably on the predecessor. Years. Anyway, I like the mounted abilities. You can put minions on animals now. The browns get to ride wolves about as like a sort of wolf cavalry. The greens get spiders, and the reds get salamanders, which roll around in a sort of wheel shape and fling fireballs as they go. It's all very good. And the blues don't get anything, do they?
Or I can't remember.
Anyway, but yeah, same old thing. Sort of waging war against this sort of analogue for the Roman Empire this time through, and also picking through the remnants and wreckage of your shadowed past. Turns out you are the son of the previous overlord, etc.
It did not end well for.
Yeah, I didn't buy the expansion pack, so all that business apparently goes to hell or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's good fun. I definitely prefer it on the console because of the sweeping works.
The sweeping
is such a pain in the ass using a mouse because you've got to like hold both buttons down and then try and drag it a bit, and it sort of moves really, really far and fast on very small movements with the mouse.
Whereas on you just use a thumbstick.
Yeah, just the other stick, and whoosh, off they go, and you can move them very precisely and do a lot of these complex manoeuvres, like giant monsters where you've got to get the greens behind them to jump on the back. You know, that sort of thing's very difficult to sweep with the mouse on the PC. So if either Overlord game, I'd recommend for the console purely on the control. Or, yeah, play it on a PC gamepad if you get it. Yeah, that works too. Don't bother trying to do it with mouse and keyboard, though, because it's just hard work. Yeah, well, there's something else about that game that I wanted to say, and that has now slipped my mind. See, I'm filling now.
Damn it.
I know. I've got to stop filling, otherwise we're just going to be here.
Is it the lovely art style that it's got, or the
No, very similar to the previous one, which was good too. I mean, I like it. It seems a bit short and linear. I was expecting to be able to go more places on that world map. And have a that was it. I like how they've gotten rid of good and evil, as because that never really made any sense in the first one.
No,
there was a lot of moral choices you could make, and you think, well, I'm an evil overlord. I can choose between really evil or actually no, just misunderstood. I don't know what that whole
mildly annoying and evil.
Yeah, no. Now they've replaced that with domination versus destruction as a sort of two different shades of evil. You can it sort of emphasizes acts of control over the peasants versus burning their houses down and killing them. So there's no two ways about it. You are evil. Or evil now.
Yeah.
But you can choose, I suppose, chaotic evil or lawful evil if we're going to go all D&D about it. Which I shan't do.
No. That's a good move.
No. Okay. So yeah, still playing that. I think I'm quite near the end now, though. It's a bit short. Or I've played it very lots. I don't know.
I've still not managed to complete it.
Have I overtaken you on one of your own games again?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I didn't complete the first one either. I love them as games, but I get to a certain point and I then
there's a lot of fiddly bits to them, yeah. A lot of restart from scratch because it's you can't master this weird skill type thing going on in there. Let's see. I've been playing a ridiculous amount of Puzzle Quest, Challenge of the Warlords.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I don't know why. It's some weird... I think I maybe have had some sort of aneurysm and
want me
part
to
of my
sit
brain's
you behind,
gone...
Want me to sit behind you while you play it for an hour mocking you?
No, because that would be really unfair and cruel. Well, no, I can't imagine who would do that. No, I don't know. I've had this one game of it going for like years and years and years. It's not like normal games because you've got this world map, this meta game thing where you're moving around a world map and following this plot about an evil overlord enslaving your people and you're some sort of hero. But all the combat is famously decided by this weird puzzle block matching game instead of actual fighting. And those games take quite a long time to play, you know, in compared to normal gaming. And I can only manage like 4 or 5 of this, essentially the same game, before I get bored and go away. So I end up having to go away and come back, go away, come back, go away, come back. And I've had this one game on the go for about 2 years now. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I've decided I'm going to damn well finish it. It's the stubborn things happening again, yes.
Didn't they release a sequel?
There was Galactrix, which got slated because it wasn't nearly as good. I mean, the Puzzle Quest's basic puzzle mechanic is absolutely flawless. It's a very well put together, seamless puzzle game. It could stand on its own as a mini web game or whatever, but they've integrated it quite cleverly into this overriding RPG, basically. So, but that kind of project lives and dies on how good the actual puzzle game is, obviously. And in Puzzle Quest is very good. Now, Galactrix, they decided to try and mix it up somehow. I've not actually played it, and of course, for some reason, Steam won't let me even have a demo of it to decide that I don't want to buy it. Yeah. I think you see what goes on there. But it's a space-based version of it, and presumably has a similar sort of overriding story plot, move around a world map thing or galaxy map or whatever. But the basic puzzle game there now seems to be some kind of hexagonal thing, which apparently really doesn't flow nearly as well. And so a lot of people just say, don't bother. No. So I take their word for it, really, because I'm quite credible. Gullible? Credible? Have I met a new word? I've got to stop doing that. But no, actual Puzzle Quest 2 itself is out, I think, for pre-order now, or just coming out or something. I don't know a lot about it. I may end up getting it, you know, on the basis of how much infuriation and or entertainment has been provided by the previous product. You'll never guess what the other game I'm playing is.
What's the other game you're playing?
Good interrogation. It's Knights of the Old Republic.
Wow.
Yeah. I got all the leftover discs from the Xbox One, and some of them work on the Xbox 360, and some don't. Is there a compatibility website I can go and look at somewhere?
Yeah, there's a page somewhere. They stopped updating the... they used to do patches to enable more games.
Yeah.
And so all of the really popular games now work, but there's still a bunch which don't.
I mean, the Jade Empire and Knights of the Old Republic itself are two that I'm particularly fond of, but only have as an Xbox One versions. But they're both BioWare and presumably coded to a very high standard indeed, and so they both work on the 360 without any trouble at all. It stops access to the dashboard while you're playing these games. I don't know why, but...
There wasn't a dashboard before, and it makes things complicated.
It doesn't matter, I'm just there to play the game. I don't want to be keeping up to date with me Last FM at the same time, or whatever it is you do with all that dashboard stuff. I must have a look at it at some point, being, you know, a 360 owner and everything.
What, Last FM?
Find out. No, just the dashboard. I get scared and confused and run away from it a lot.
It's just chat.
Yeah. I can just about accept friend requests, and that's about it, really. I can't work out to do much else with it. But, yeah, Knights of the Old Republic. I'm trying the Evil playthrough.
Okay.
Trying Darkseid. Well,
you never manage Evil.
I don't. I know. I have trouble. Well, the thing is, I'm trying to give it a real serious go this time, and I'm starting to notice two different approaches to Evil. There's I don't know, chaotic stupid, I suppose, which is a way of...
That's me.
Yeah, you basically just go through dialogue choices, just picking the most unpleasant abuse you can see each time, which is a surprisingly easy way, and in fact the normal way to play Dragon Age Origins. But in something like KOTOR or Jade Empire, where it's all very much the hero versus the evil enemy, it just starts to really break down, because to maintain your persona, you know, method acting now as we go, you maintain this persona of evil, you just have to be really abusive, and that really doesn't help get jobs from people. You know, hey, I want you to go and fetch me 10 womp rats, and you can say, yes, I'll do that immediately. No, don't worry about paying me, because I'm a paragon of good. Or there's, yes, okay, I'll do that. And then there's, no, go away, I hate you. And if you keep picking the no, go away, I hate you option in every dialogue option that's presented to you, you're just left there standing on your own and not really having anywhere to go next or do anything. So you know, but then I suppose... If you're cleverly writing for a dual morality storyline that's playable, good or evil, which a lot of them purport to be able to do, yeah, I suppose you need to start looking out for the, yes, I'll do your thing, but you need to pay me lots of money, you know?
Yeah.
It's the, I suppose, yeah, the lawful evil again, I suppose. You need to work within the existing society, but, I don't know, twist it if you can. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying KOTOR particularly because, from what I gather, there is this whole corrupting Bastila subplot thing that goes on sort of through much of the later stages of the game, which apparently is, you know, purposefully written with evil as a viable playstyle in mind, rather than just the standard nod to evil where you just add a jerk ass option at the bottom of every dialogue option. So we'll see. And also, yes, as you say, I will see if I myself can actually manage to maintain that kind of nasty persona all the way through a playthrough of an RPG that takes about 40 to 60 hours. Or whatever it takes. But, evil doesn't come easily to me, I'm afraid. But we'll see if I can do it. So that's about it, really. Yes, go on then. You'll go. Have you played anything at all? Because you're in this big fugue, aren't you?
I'm in this big fugue, which I'll get to in a bit.
Yeah.
But I've actually completed two games.
Two games. Completed. Yes. Blimey. Excellent.
They're both Xbox Arcade games.
Fair enough.
First was Limbo.
Limbo, that was this black and white
That's the black and white RT sideways puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant, and everyone should play it.
Right.
You basically, you're a kid who wakes up, don't know what's going on, you're chasing to find your sister.
Right.
And you just basically go through lots and lots of puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've done it.
Lots and lots of sudden deaths. There are some really
quick save.
No, you don't need the quick save, quick load. It's one of those games which punishes you for death by putting you back just before the death.
Fair enough.
And so the sudden deaths are the way you find out that you've done something
wrong.
Choose
your own adventure save game method.
Yeah. So basically, you know, you'll get stabbed through the head by a spider leg.
Right.
And then you'll then just reset to just before the spider.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't hurt too much, but it's a rather old school feeling with the just the fact it is sudden death, which you don't get so often anymore.
Mm. Yeah, the sudden unavoidable death where the computer just tossed a coin and
there's never
is
any...
there warnings? Is there stuff you should have spotted and watched out for?
At any point, as long as you're being careful, you will avoid every death.
Okay, fair enough.
But because you know you'll get closer to something and the creature will move a bit.
But
there's the actual getting the puzzles wrong and whatnot. There's some horrible jumpy puzzles as well.
A pox on all jumpy puzzles. Yeah.
There's some great puzzles where you're having to grab onto chains while the world's rotating on cogs. And yeah, it gets quite interesting quite quickly.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly good. Probably only 4 hours, 3-4 hours play, but definitely worth playing.
Okay. So you can find that in the shop on the Xbox there.
Yeah, it's Xbox exclusive, so it's not anything else.
Right.
The next game I played was Risk Factions.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I saw a little bit of that.
You saw me playing that last week.
That was bizarre.
Yes, which is basically Risk.
Yeah.
Now, there's two modes in it. Mm. There's Classic Mode, which gives you a map of the world, and that's about it.
Yeah, standard gamer Risk that you'd find in a board game box.
And then there's the Special Mode, the new mode, which is you... playing as either humans, generals, cats, zombies, yetis, or robots.
Robots, right.
There might be another one I've forgotten.
Mm.
And it's
being the factions in question.
Yeah, it's remarkably fun. Mm. It's not on Earth, so it's not the Earth map. So
are they random maps?
No, there's six or so different maps.
Okay.
And basically, they have the advantage of not being the Risk map, so they have a bit more tactics.
I imagine
there
are a number of very documented and tried and tested methodologies for playing a game of Risk, because the board is always known.
Stuff like South America is easy to defend.
You lock up South America and Australasia and you work from there.
Now there's also things like dams. If you control both sides of a dam, then you can flood everything below it and take off any extra troops that are on there. There's a brilliant one where there's this temple you can capture. If you capture all of the island with the temple on, then you can, at the start of each turn, you can turn one of their the enemy areas to your side and grab all their troops. Once I get that makes it incredibly easy to beat the
AI. Sounds like a game that's going to wind up Risk purists no end. There's a lot of gimmicky extras been thrown in.
Yeah, but you've got game there. Mm. If you
oh, you've got the normal game as well if you want to.
And so. Yes, it's actually... I waited an entire weekend on it. It was so fun.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
It is tremendous fun.
Mm.
And it reminded me how Risk is a nice idea for a game.
I've got Risk. I might have to bring that along on our next big board game meetup. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I quite enjoyed that, by the way.
Oh, yes. You didn't mention we played that stupid card game.
Yeah, yeah. We were guests of Zozo there, and we were playing all sorts of board games and stuff. Well, card game called Flux, which the details of which you can find on Power Armored Beard.
Yeah,
there.
It's a stupid game where the rules change every turn.
On our friendly,
not
blog
every
list
round,
links,
every turn they can change. So between one person and the next person playing, the rules can completely change.
I know, strange. Yeah. Sorry, back to Risk.
Yes. Yeah, it's not particularly overly long game, but it does have multiplayer, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And it's just tremendous.
Very
fun.
Few single player board games out there.
I know.
In general.
Yeah.
Sure, that says something, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. So those are the two games I completed.
Right.
Not a lot to say about them because they're both very simple games. Mm. One note concept things. It's just they're so fun with that idea.
I found myself shying away from immense lengthy game propositions of late. You know, things like a couple of rounds of Puzzle Quest.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what I've been doing, because I haven't really touched any proper big game on any of the consoles.
You've got the right mindset. It takes half an hour to get anything useful done, etc. Yeah.
And I'm just finding I can't really be bothered to play games at the moment. Nothing's really grabbing my attention.
Happens to us all.
Yeah, it does. Then, of course, there's the iPad.
Oh, here we go. Actually, iPad gaming.
What have I?
We're hip. We're cool.
I have been playing Mirror's Edge on the iPad.
Actually,
it manages to get most of the moves from Mirror's Edge and put them into a 2D scroller.
Right.
Which works really well.
Fair enough.
I've been playing Gravity Hook. Yeah, it's basically doodle jump, but you're holding yourself up with a grapnel instead of jumping.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not quite as good as it could be, because it just lacks that immediate fun of doodle jump, I think.
Yeah,
it's a bit slower.
So it gets a bit loses the point, perhaps. Somewhere. Yeah.
Mm. Space Station HD.
Space Station HD.
Which is basically a tower defense game of types where you're building a space station, you're harvesting asteroids, putting guns on, putting other bits of gear, and you get wave after wave of enemies coming at you.
Pretty familiar format.
A very familiar format.
In a new style?
Yeah, just quite nicely done. Works really well on the iPad with a nice big screen.
Never
and
really got into the tower defense games. I don't know why. They just don't do it for some reason.
But this seems a little less. Well, you've got the basic ones, which is basically...
Here's the squiggly line.
They're going to go on and put enough guns on it.
Put guns on it and wait.
Yeah, which I find quite boring, but this is
it's the lack of hands-on. I mean, yeah, I know obviously you can deploy turrets during the rushes if you're getting more extra money coming in, but I don't know.
But this space station game's a lot more like, say, an RTS-type thing.
Mm. An on-rails RTS, that's what tower defence is.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah.
It's wrong.
It just doesn't work.
I've been playing Angry Birds.
Angry Birds? What's that?
Basically, you've got a catapult and birds,
and
you're catapulting birds at structures with pigs on them.
I'm not even going
to
ask
and
why.
And you've got to get the trajectory right, and some birds explode. You've got Merv birds.
Thingy, Scorched Earth with the tanks.
Yes, very much like that. But
basically just taking it in turns to guess at trajectories.
You're not taking it in turns, you just want the one of you, and you're just basically trying to shoot it down a structure and kill all the pigs.
Mm.
And it's quite fun. It's actually very fun. But that's quite a famous little... iPhone game now, so but there's a really nice iPad version.
In general, are we seeing iPhone games on there, or are we seeing stuff written for the iPad yet?
We're seeing stuff written for the iPad. Mirror's Edge, for instance, isn't on the iPhone.
Oh, right, okay.
But
I figured that was a conversion of sorts.
Yeah, quite a lot of the games, you know, to make the iPad version, all you need to do is add more resolution because
just scale it up, recompile it. Away you go.
Because the same. Gameplay conditions apply. So,
because what fascinates me, I suppose, is the idea of the whole sort of it as a sort of portable chessboard or whatever.
Yeah,
and we're not really seeing iPad specific stuff in large amounts just yet.
No, there's quite a few. It's just a lot of the games can be done on the iPhone still.
Fair enough.
They're just better on the iPad. I mean, there's a Scrabble on it, which does actually use iPhones as your...
heard about that, yeah.
As your...
It's rather expensive way to do it. I mean, how much does a Scrabble set cost?
Probably about 20 quid.
20, 30 quid. Yeah. Compared to an iPad and four iPhones.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they can do other stuff, but even so.
It's very good for Scrabble. I've got Scrabble on it, actually. And it's incredibly good for Scrabble. It's one of those... I got new tyres on my car last week, and I had the iPad with me, so I just sat there gaming for while they did it.
Yeah, the gaming anywhere thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's Osmos HD.
Right.
Which basically you're a thing.
A thing.
A spherical mass, could be a cell, could be something, it's hard to tell.
Right.
And you move by ejecting a bit of you out the back, so you get smaller.
Yeah.
And there's a physics engine in there, so the more you eject, the faster you go, that sort of stuff. And you can absorb anything that's smaller than you.
Okay.
Which makes you bigger. And
like in driving.
just like Not in Driving.
Okay.
So, you know.
It's 2D Katamari. Right.
It's basically 2D Katamari. And some levels you have to just become the biggest or absorb a certain thing. Mm-hmm. There are some where actually you've got this attractor in the middle and you're effectively orbiting it.
Ah, right.
So you're adjusting your orbit by jetting out a bit and stuff. Mm. And it's incredibly fun.
Excellent.
But all of these games are just stuff which I'll pick up for 5-10 minutes at a time.
I've been doing a bit of that with Steam lately. I'm just downloading random demos for the hell of it, just to see what they're like. There's one called Fortix, which was, you know, where you got a big grid and you got to draw a line across it and you capture the smaller half.
Yeah.
It's that, but okay. Set with medieval and catapults. Rubbish, don't bother. And there's one called Disciples 3 The Renaissance or something, which is the most shameless rip-off of Heroes of Might and Magic I've ever encountered, which is also rubbish, don't bother. There you go. See, some people may think I like everything. It's not the case.
Yeah, you've talked about that stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are the iPad games I've basically been playing.
Right.
So, yeah, I've really been looking at smaller, more manageable, bite-sized gameplay, you know, like with a game of Risk or whatever.
Casual gaming.
Yeah, and I just haven't touched. I've got a massive stack of massive games over there and haven't really
touched any of them. Which I should probably borrow before you finish most of them.
Yeah. And right. Then there was actually the one big game that I bought.
Bought?
I did actually buy StarCraft 2.
You bought StarCraft 2?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad somebody did. Knowing Blizzard, there's probably no way I can effectively borrow that thing. It's all geo-locked up the wazoo with authenticators and whatever.
But yeah, but I can give you a 7-hour free trial.
Is that going to be enough, you think? 7-hour free trial?
Yeah. Yeah, it comes with free trials in it for a single player, well, for a non-MMO, hour-based.
I don't know if I'm going to buy it or not. I'm hearing a lot, well, you can tell me about it yourself right now.
Yes.
I'm hearing largely that it is StarCraft 1.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play it and
again, a real sequel.
It annoys me on several levels.
Mm.
One is, you know how they do their humorous click on a unit and it'll say something humorous?
Oh, yeah. You have to click them multiple times, usually, to get it going, yeah.
Yeah, when you're just basically only got a couple of units on a level,
yeah,
it really, really annoys me because it just does it again and again and again and it thinks it's so clever with the stupid...
I don't know, previously you have to click them 3 times in a row before they'll start to say something stupid. But are they just doing them as default now?
Well, I think it is.
Right.
But yeah, that's annoying. Also, the marine guy in the power armour, he's constantly smoking a cigar inside his power armour.
That's going to muck about with the delicate internals.
I can understand, you know, you've got scrubbers on there for the oxygen, so the smoke doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the ash going? Do you know where it's going? Down to his boots.
Is he smoking with the helmet shut?
Yeah.
Right.
It's silly.
Yeah, that's that. Okay.
Silly game.
Good.
Yeah. I basically play it and I think, it would be nice if they'd implemented some more modern RTS things that are around.
A somewhat heretical view, I think.
But the reason is they didn't want to change it too much because you can't change the clicky nature of it. Otherwise, you change its use in competition, I think.
You do not mess with the StarCraft, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the basic format there is what people have gone... I mean, I don't want to have to keep banging on about the South Korea stereotype here. I mean, I'm sure a great many people the world over appreciate StarCraft for its...
It's sold a million and a half in a couple of days.
Fundamental, no-nonsense gameplay mechanics, but you don't want to muck about too extensively with a formula that's done you so well in the past.
Yeah.
So we're probably not expecting to see anything wildly crazy and different and innovative in StarCraft 2. I wouldn't have thought, no.
The other things that annoy me is the plot at the moment is so predictable.
Is it... It's 3 releases, isn't it? They're doing each campaign as a separate product. That's a bit underhanded, but hell, people pay for it. Why not?
It's still 30 missions. So.
Oh, I see. So each campaign is actually expanded to fill a full game.
Each campaign is a full game's worth. And because it's an RTS, there's an awful lot of hours worth of gameplay.
Some of those missions will take 8 or 9 hours ago or whatever.
Something like that. Depends how good you are.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And also the writing in it is... Oh, God, there's some bad writing. There's some really bad dialogue.
Excellent. I'll have to find a transcript and read them out one day.
Apart from that, it is a solid RTS, which is fun to play, except for one tiny, ickle little problem.
Yeah.
You know these power-armoured guys stomping around?
Yeah.
I do a mission in StarCraft. And I've played a lot more Dawn of War 2 in the last week than I have in the last couple of months.
I can really go for some Dawn of War about now.
So I've basically got massively back into Dawn of War 2.
Oh, that backfired a bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
it gets worse than that, which I'll explain in a bit.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, so Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising, the expansion.
Yes.
I pre-ordered it when it was announced. Steam automatically downloaded it.
Yeah.
And I haven't really touched it.
Oh, dear.
So in the last week, I started touching it.
Right. Okay.
And,
yeah. StarCraft 2 has driven you to Dawn of War 2.
Yeah. It's just the blatant...
There's a glowing review.
It's basically because of the... point of my life 40k has gone through and it's always been there in the background, and it's safe to say that StarCraft is a little bit influenced by the Games Workshop universe.
That's what Blizzard do, isn't it? They imitate at a very high standard and technical quality.
That's the problem, they don't innovate. You can't really criticise them for them making a game, because the game will just be rock solid.
It'll be solid, people will really enjoy it, it'll sell very well, and we can just sit here being as bitter and grumpy as we like, and it won't matter a damn.
So, Dawn of War 2, playing through... rapidly corrupting my Marines. You know how Dawn of War 2 is a funny... It's not really an RTS.
No, I haven't played it.
It's four units.
It's not anything like Dawn of War 1,
no,
is it?
It's four units. You don't really build any structures. And you're taken through... There's levels,
an RPG, really.
XP, loot you find.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely an RPG with just four units. And if you don't look at it as this is a big RTS... It's a lot more fun.
When I first played it,
I really wanted it to be an RTS.
And I loved the base building in all RTSs. Yeah. That's what does it for me. I'm very much a turtle player. But
now it's more the story and the actions involved in it.
I wonder if I'd even like Dawn of War 2 if I were to give it a go.
Yeah, I didn't to start with, but now I do, because I basically just want to kill stuff with Terminators.
Fair enough.
I want a Space Hulk at the moment.
Right.
I'm slowly corrupting to Chaos, and you can't beat having three Terminator squads and a Dreadnought stomping through a Space Hulk.
Old school.
Shooting Terminators. Tyranids.
Oh, yeah.
It just feels right. So, yeah, that's what I've basically been spending a lot of my time playing. But the problem with that is I found myself playing that for a little while.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
And then, before you know it...
Out come the plastics.
Yeah, somebody has loaded up the Games Workshop website on my Mac, which is next to my PC. And I'm looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a problem, really. Because I've now got plastic everywhere again.
Yeah, you're getting back into the modelling.
All as a
result of StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
That backfired a bit.
This is why Games Workshop have never sued Blizzard.
No, I suppose not.
It's the best.
Oh, I see it now. My God, that is clever.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are with a number of Games Workshop boxes full of plastic and in view.
I dug a load out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Started painting again. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't help that Forge World have released or announced at the end of the month they're releasing some Mark III Marines and some Mark IV Marines. And I'm guessing next week they're going to announce the Mark V Marines. Which look gorgeous.
I see.
Yeah, so that's...
So we're seeing quite a lot of wargaming in the future of the real kind where you get to talk to people.
Yeah, about that.
On tables and things.
Yeah. How do you fancy some wargaming at some stage?
Oh, God, don't make me buy one of these little toy soldier armies. I don't have the time to sit there and paint them all, and you know I'm going to get all OCD and not want to use unpainted ones.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get past that.
If you can put together two armies, I might play you.
Okay, right, yes.
But they've all got to be painted.
To Golden Demon Standard.
To Golden Demon Standard, of course, yes.
Yeah. Oh, and then
that other thing you were playing when I saw you earlier
today. Yes, there's that last game.
We need to have a bit of a talk about that.
I started playing an MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite me having provided a number of very generous opportunities to come and hang out with us and the gang on various other MMOs, you decided to go and pick another one, don't you?
I did, yes.
Yes.
Well,
go on then, tell them what you're playing.
You see, Tale 5 of A Tale in the Desert launched. on Saturday.
Tale in the Desert.
And I went back to Tale in the Desert.
Yeah, I knew they were winding up 4, but yeah, it didn't seem like only yesterday they were winding up 3, which at the end of 3 was where we were both having a potter about in it, weren't we? And then I didn't bother coming back to 4.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back since, but you decided to go in and have a look?
Yeah.
So what's the big new things with the difference between 5 and 3, for example?
God knows.
Right.
I haven't found them yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Broadly very similar from what I can
see. Broadly very similar. Some things are different.
If you played 3, you probably know what you're doing in 5.
Yeah, you know what you're doing, just minor tweaks along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I played for a couple of hours today.
The graphics did look better. What was the Mexican hut about?
Oh, the buildings look... that is what an Egyptian building looked like as well.
Because you think of Egyptians and you think
they didn't live in pyramids.
And like vast, like 1940s Cecil B. DeMille sets with like, you know, Elizabeth Taylor flouncing around and thousands of people all on bright colours and stuff. Not like that at all?
No.
No, there you go then.
You see, that would be the pharaohs. The
pharaohs, right. Are you a pharaoh?
No.
Okay.
I'm a minion who builds stuff in his
garden. You've got ambitions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I made myself a little house.
So you made your compound.
Made my compound.
That's your very first architecture test. Is it still test driven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I've done my first architecture test. I did the identify 35 plants in
that's,
20
that
minutes.
That was quite hard work.
It would seem quite easy when I did it.
It depends where you are. When you do it, if there's a lot of plants around, then you're going to do it well.
Yeah, and so I'm currently level 3.
Right, yeah. So there's 21 challenges, tests, that you need to pass to mark yourself out as a person of note. That's their progression. But the tests are all very abstract kinds of things.
Yeah.
They fall into 7 disciplines. I don't know if we talked about this extensively back in the day.
It
was a while ago. Yeah. So tested leadership, as an example, you need to... The very first rank of that, you presume this is a thing that eventually could lead you to being a GM or gaining GM-like powers if you play it right. There's... 20, you have to get 21 people to sign your bit of paper saying that you're a responsible citizen of Egypt. And this being this kind of game, a great many of those people aren't just going to sign it because they want to be friends. They'll be weighing up your potential to be a useful
it's
citizen.
Great.
Yeah, have you met 21 people yet?
No.
No, right. Okay, then there's the test of art and music.
If we weren't here, I'd be on a dig now, digging up stones.
Yeah, so the communal... Well, this was a big problem with our dabblings at the very end of the telling, they call them tellings, so 3, was that everyone had already done all this communal stuff and were off at the very high end doing all sorts of arcane research stuff. So made it a very difficult game for a new player to get into. Presumably, if you wanted... There were certain bottlenecks in the tech tree, being the multiple people having to help dig the same hole to get stones out was the big problem. It was a group activity in a game where there wasn't really anyone wanting to group up at that stage. Now's an ideal time to do that kind
of
thing, though. Yeah, this is the very early pioneering days of this big tech tree. If you want to play it at all, now's the time to jump in and get involved. So you got your test of art and music to do, have you? Where you got to set up your sculpture and have
a
load of people say that it looks interesting.
Yes,
that was weird. That was all done like with Star Wars Galaxy style object piling ups, which is quite interesting. And there was that one where I don't even know what that rhythmic harmony acolyte religion thing was all about, but presumably you find out. You've got to do basically a lot of social stuff there.
I know.
Interesting. Just, it says you don't want to hang out with us on the Mondays and the Wednesdays.
Well, I wanted...
You're going to start your own community.
I wanted a game with no killing.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable in that there is absolutely no combat at all in this game.
And as far as I've ever seen...
Perhaps political combat at the top end.
There's no griefing. Everyone is friendly. Everyone works together to a cause.
It doesn't really appeal to the pew-pew sort of player, no. It's immensely boring, putting it frankly. But it's quite rewarding if you can get involved.
It is said that it is the only game where goons went to it and played it properly.
Yeah. So are you recruiting? Are you trying to set up a little commune to get communal jobs done?
I think I might.
All right, you'll need to let people know how to get in touch with you if they're interested in playing Tale in the
Desert. I'm sending a king game, but just go along to vanhemlock.com and say hi.
Yeah.
And so if anyone is playing or fancies having a go, just let me know. And
it's not really large-scale raiding gameplay, is it?
No.
It's more multiple people pottering about and exchanging hellos, that kind of thing.
It's one of those purely relaxing games where you have to click 500 times to gather grass in order to...
Rhythmic strength, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a skill that you can buy for 500 tufts of grass.
Which makes gathering grass easier.
It helps you gather grass better.
Yeah.
And they say they don't have sense of humour in these games. Yeah. I think I may be skipping it this time. I think I had my fill last time. But yes, well, I haven't got the time. Yeah. I've got too much else on.
It doesn't appeal to most people. You have to be a certain mentality to want
basically,
to play
it. Basically, it's a MMO which is entirely crafting based.
If you like,
to the exclusion of anything else.
If you like Farmville or Wii Rule, it's sort of along those lines, but takes longer to play.
A lot more advanced, and you do need to really get involved with people to get on in that game if you want to get anywhere. If you're happy just pottering about, then you can do that quite happily solo. But many, many communal tasks that do need people to help you. So that may not appeal to some people.
Have to see how long I last this time, but since I'm there at the ground floor,
I think, as long as you take the steps to get to know some people at the start, I think you've probably got to stand a good the best chance at all of getting all the way through and getting to the top end stuff, becoming someone in Egypt,
which would be quite fun.
I'm interested to hear how you get on with that, actually, and what we're playing's to come.
And also there's an awful lot of building in it, so it's fun.
All the compounds and stone carving things, looms, and so the one with the wood plane. The wood plane. I have nightmares about that thing, which is one of the reasons I'm not going
to
bother.
Can't wait to get metal.
If you can drag yourself out of the Stone Age this time, then you might have a chance to go in somewhere. We never made it from the Stone Age previously.
The problem is, when you start, the first thing you can build is you gather enough slate, which you just find on the beach. And then you can use it to make a slate blade. Stone blade. By basically knocking two of them together.
Of course, slate is rather fragile.
Yeah, and you can then build a wood plane, which you use to turn wood into boards, which are then used for building other stuff. Now, you will get 5, 10, 15, if you're lucky, boards out of one stupid stone blade before the blade breaks.
Because you made it out of slate, which snaps just like that.
Why don't you make it out of flint?
Why aren't you making it out of flint to begin with?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you have to find flint and work your way up the tree like everyone else.
I found flint.
Excellent.
Yes, I'm starting my carving. I made myself a flint knife.
And a sharpened stick. I was very impressed with your sharpened stick technology. We've been down this road before. It all got very competitive. But I shan't be competing this time. I'm going to leave you to it.
We'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. But yes, it's fun. I like it. I like a good tech tree in a game. And I like a good building in a game.
Yeah,
it's sort of like Civilization without any of the combat.
Yeah, but very much a case of you get out what you put into it. You need to sort of get on with the people and help them help you. To help each other, help yourselves to the future.
Yes, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. well, if anyone is playing it already or fancies having a look, just hit me up. And what's that plane doing overhead?
I think we're being strafed.
We are. They wait till we record. Okay, so that's all the games I've played.
Right. Should we do the Twitter question?
We can. Do you fancy talking for a little while, though, while I load this up?
I've got to fill while your mobile chessboard that costs hundreds of dollars to play Scrabble on finds the page, have I?
Yeah. Well, you see, I was talking and didn't look at this ahead of time.
Marvellous. So, I can't even remember what the Twitter question was this week. I've forgotten. I need to think. Think.
Did you...
I may have abdicated it to you again, yes.
Yes.
What was the most shameful thing you've done in an MMO? Or was it an MMO or just a game? I can't remember.
It was online, I think. Or it might have been in a game.
So there's you fishing for tales of horror and humiliation.
What is your most shameful screw-up in a game?
Ah, there we go.
Yeah. okay. Ackley comes with, I put an AMRAM up my wing leader's bum right as he was lining up to drop some runway busters on a North Korean airbase.
Friendly fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
As in Falcon 4, of course. Dot Chaos. Probably the time in Planetside when I OS'd the roof of the tech plant just as two gals full of friendlies bailed into it.
Orbital strike being the beam weapon from space, which will just annihilate anything underneath it. Yeah, so single-handedly destroyed all of your friendly troops on the assault. Excellent.
Bevis?
I guess that capture didn't go through.
No. Bevis says, getting the sheriff killed in Megaton in Fallout 3 was bad because his orphan son followed me around and made me feel bad.
Oh, that's so difficult not to do as well. If you get it wrong, if you talk to Burke after you've told the sheriff and tell Burke, no, you've got to get out of this town. He comes out and starts shooting. The sheriff shoots him and the sheriff can't beat him. And it just goes terrible.
Gothwalk says, I once listed an item in WoW worth about 3,000 gold for 3 gold.
Ooh.
Didn't realise until the sold mail came in.
Whoops. Somebody else's best moment in a game ever. Yeah.
Broken diet. Ooh, was newbie and WoW. Some level 60. Took us in an instance. I had just got this whizzy remote control too. So I remote controlled a boss and ran him off his platform, thinking the fool would kill him. It didn't. Oh. He came back.
Oh.
With the rest of the population of the instance. Oh. Insta-wipe.
The over-aggro wipe is always a classic.
Dr. Torak says, I once came round after a low blood sugar caused me to pass out, to find TNC had carried me to the end of Nightfall.
Oh, yeah, I still feel quite bad about that. One of our group members had a diabetic episode whilst we were doing a mission in Guild Wars, and we didn't really notice. It was bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Harry Hull ran towards boat in my L-type. Yay, made it. Overshot pier, land in the water. Lol balloons as the boat sailed.
Excellent.
Phoenix D-Fire, MXO. Freezing our team's Kung Fu operative, who then got killed.
Whoops.
The said killer went on to kill the rest of our team.
Oh, dear.
Telki. Tanking Illidan. Hit Berserker stance, went from 15% less damage taken to 20% more insta-kill. 25% or 8%.
DPS over aggro. Gonna watch those meters.
Shivoa, until Half-Life 1, I got past anything harder than a cakewalk in FPSs with God mode. Got myself with much gameplay and practice for a multiplayer.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with wanting an easy experience. Good grief.
Debut, losing a Guild Wars Guild versus Guild match because I missed the Elementalist casting meteor shower.
Ooh.
Our archers all die. We lost at the flag stand.
Oh, that's a long charge up spell too. Yeah, come to keep an eye out for that kind of thing.
MMO dog.
Mm-hmm.
Killing poor defenseless rabbit when I was supposed to give it some / love.
Ah,
I don't know what game that was. Derbart, more general, I get lost in 3D games. I'm famous for it even.
Oh, yeah. Must fire up Descent again, yeah, at some point.
Eric Stowe says, probably EVE PvP, not activating hardness, forgetting to overheat, etc, etc.
I've never overheated, yeah. It always just seems punitively damaging, to be honest.
Tepotastic. Any, but not all. Some of them are hilarious, of my party wipes and mojo.
Yeah.
To which Bevis follows up with, they were funny. When they weren't 1 o'clock in the morning and I wanted to sleep.
Right, we're going back to do it again.
Yeah. Yes, there was that time.
I remember that particular episode. There was just 5 very sullen other voices on TeamSpeak that day.
Tempotastic comes back with, look at it this way, we're more likely to stop for the night after a wipe.
Ah, that was his way of regulating our gameplay, clearly.
Yeah.
Mm. Although he's, you know, it is right what they say. One day you can look back at this stuff and laugh.
Yeah. Sunk Zero says, buying a Wii. Never before have I been taken in by such hype for a paperback book size block of electronic wank.
Oh dear, by a remorse attach there.
Coxie117, more a shameful scrub in someone else's game. Saving over housemate's Final Fantasy save on the PS2. Oops.
Ooh, those can run into quite a long time, can't they?
Yes.
That would be terrible if you had to restart that from scratch. Yeah.
I was embarrassed after I'd forgotten potted in Eve, got a new ship, went back to the fight, and forgot to put guns on the ship.
Oh, yes. Well, you just have to sort of orbit people and hope no one notices.
Sentak, nothing too interesting to report. The usual fell asleep in a raid situation and who's the main tanker kid?
Excellent.
Jason and Etheridge, in Eve, falling prey to classic cam flipper's trick.
Oh, the can
flip. Of me opening his can, allowing him to blow up my first retriever.
Oh, dear. That's insidious, that can flipping. Something needs to be done.
Saint Mistaken, blue and blue artillery in RTS multiplayer. Subcom's Nuka's worst offender, but have a City of Heroes, Sherman, Calipo, Asbo. Zona 21, well, not an Asbo is, of course.
Mm.
Zona 21, you remember that keep Dida told you about? I didn't get to keep it. Thieves grumble. Now I always play a rogue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In a previous episode, he looted a key deed off of someone in an Ultima Online PvP.
Yeah. Lagspike, signing up for 3 rounds. I get into a cyber chat and EQ. Oh, and wiping a fear raid by falling asleep.
Ah. There's nothing shameful in 3 realms itself. I mean, I'm just not sure I'd tell anyone if I was playing it or not either.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that would be all of those.
What about you?
My most embarrassing one, well, it's hard to say, really. I've done the falling asleep in Eve and waking up to a pod in a mission. I have to say that starting the Down City in Galaxy.
For me, always just a catalogue of embarrassment that stretches back 10 years, including and not limited to intimate whispers being broadcast on Zone Chats. I've done that, the old mist tales, yes. Yeah. Healing the enemy. I tend to do that an awful lot whenever I'm healer, which is one of the reasons I try not to heal where possible. And actually, I've done that in Eve as well in one of our wormholes. Poor old Torag's shield's boiling off into space, yeah. And you know he's getting ready to warp out, and I'm there in the scimitar, and I'm wondering why my reppers aren't fixing this situation. And I realise, oh, I'm healing the sleeper. Right. They don't even have shields. I'm surprised I didn't crash the server with that bizarre twist of logic. But, goes on and on, really.
Is it a catalogue of errors?
Catalogue of errors, yeah. Stupidity and thoughtlessness plaguing my gaming life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, with that, what did you learn this week?
I learnt that everything is a conspiracy to make me buy plastic.
And I learnt that it's just not worth turning the telly on Saturdays anymore.
It's not, is
the
it?
Only thing, well, the only thing I saw that wasn't beneath my contempt was the episode of Casualty, which was basically a one-hour epic about assisted suicide, which is possibly some of the most bleak things I've seen in audiovisual entertainment for the last 2 years.
It was their episode where they're after an award for.
Which was followed by a Chipper Northerner doing a stand-up comedy show. That's just a genius scheduling going on there. But, yes, so remind me not to watch telly ever at all again.
It's not a bad move.
And with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.